Good morning, and welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. And I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her. And it is my great joy to serve this energetic and loving congregation. I return today after 2 months of professional development, study leave, and vacation. And I am so delighted to be back with you. I really missed you. And I miss these gatherings that we have on Sunday mornings, these services, this worship, where we gather together with creativity and intention to remember what we value most, what is most worthy to us, and what sustains us. And it is my tradition at the end of every summer to celebrate the sweetness of life, because is not summer sweet? And the early fall is such a time of bounty and sweetness, and that is our birthright. The joy and wonder of the world is our birthright. And today we are all going to worship together. The children are going to stay with us today. And I just want to let you know that each and every one of you is so welcome with us this morning, and I'm glad you're here. And let's take a moment to greet each other. And I want you to, as you're greeting people, to just notice if you're smiling, because smiling is the best way to pass joy from one person to another. If you're online, use the chat to say good morning. Use emojis. If you're watching a recording, greet someone in your home via text. Smile. So greet everyone with a smile, please. You can join each other and smile more and greet more during the coffee hour downstairs. There's also a coffee hour online. If you're new today, I'd really love to have you fill out the visitor's card so we can send you more information about our fellowship there in the back of the seats behind you. And one announcement, this coming weekend, we are having family camp here at WOOF. People are going to camp out on the ground and enjoy a lot of activities, and you are still welcome to sign up. You do not have to have children in your home at this time in order to be welcome at this event. And there's also lots of opportunities to volunteer and be with kids. So let Liz know after the service if that's of interest to you. And now we are going to sing with Spencer and Kira.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to see if we can wake up our brains a little bit with the song that we're going to do. So has anyone seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the Gene Wilder original? They're all good, but we're going to do the song Pure Imagination from that movie. So we don't have any words, so I'm just going to do a call and response. We're going to kind of learn it together, and then we're going to see if we can bring Spencer in and maybe some other folks. And Lennon's Imagination. So here's what it's going to sound like. Ready? We're just sticking with the first verse. Imagine there's no heaven. Let's go. Ready?
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky.
All right, nice job. Who's feeling like really good about John Lennon, Imagination? Who's feeling pretty good about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? A little bit? Okay, so I kind of want to do a split, and we're going to just let you pick what you want to sing. Spencer's going to be singing Imagination, John Lennon. I'm going to be singing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So just lock into one of us and ignore what everyone around you is doing. And it's going to sound really cool. We also need a volunteer, maybe some like little hands or medium-sized hands. I'm kind of looking at Oliver. Would you be willing to come up here and play? You don't have to sing. Oh, okay, well, we got two. All right, come on. Yeah, you come up. Okay, great. Excellent. Hold it right there. So here's what it's going to sound like. Everyone who's doing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with me, we're going to say, come with me. Imagine there's no heaven. And then you just go, okay? So everyone with me, come with me.
Imagine, imagine there's no heaven.
Your imagination, and you'll be.
It's easy if you try.
Your imagination.
Yeah,
okay. We're going to give it a try. Come with me.
Imagine there's no heaven.
World of your imagination. Come with me.
It's easy if you try.
Your imagination. Come with me.
No hell below us.
World of your imagination. Come with me.
Above us only.
In a world of your imagination. Imagine all the people.
Living for today.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us. And the world will live as one. Come with me.
Imagine there's no heaven.
World of your imagination. Come with me.
It's easy if you try.
Your imagination. Come with me.
No heaven.
The world of your imagination. Come with me.
Above us only sky.
Your imagination. If you want to view paradise, simply turn around and view it. Anything you want to do, do it.
Today.
You want to change the world, there's nothing to it. With me, and you'll be in the world of your imagination. Come with me.
It's easy if you try.
Your imagination.
Hey!
Thank you, Spencer. Hey,
so any
we're so amazing. Thank you.
If you guys want to stay up, you can. Any children who want to come up, we are going to teach the adults the children's chalice lighting, which you often do in RE. So, you guys, I'm going to do it one. It's going to be a callback as well. So, I'm going to show you the movements, and if any kids want to help me, they're welcome to. I'm going to do the movements and the words, and then you repeat them back. We light this chalice. To celebrate Unitarian Universalism. This is a church of open minds.
This is a church of open minds.
Loving hearts.
Loving hearts.
Helping hands.
Helping hands.
We take care of the earth.
We take care of the earth.
And each other.
And each other.
Let us say our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him, and I will be your lay leader this morning. It's really good to see you all here. Our opening reading is by Amy Lloyd, Intentions and Trust. Today I want to greet joy without a trace of suspicion. I want to open my eyes to the light without a blink of dread. I want to look at my past without a whisper of shame. I want to look at my future without a hint of fear. Today I want to dance without pausing to think. I want to belly laugh without caring who hears. I want to open my arms and twirl in the sun until I fall breathless, free to be myself, full of the joy that I open to allow. Completely letting go, without even a smudge of suspicion or a wink of hesitation. That's my intention. It's what I want.
So this morning, we're going to do something that's new for us here at WOOF. We are going to bless the backpacks and bags of those of us who are entering school in the next over the next few weeks and months. So what I would like to do is to invite anybody forward who has a backpack, who has a bag, who has a pocket that they need filled with some love and blessing for the year. You're also welcome to stay in your seats if you want that blessing. But if you want to come forward, that's great. So you may be children, you may be adults. Sure, that'd be great. So many of us carry bags through the week, bags and backpacks. Or we carry things in our pockets. Some of us take books and homework to school. Some of us take lunches to school or to our work. Some of us take computers or other supplies to the places where we work. Some kids carry overnight bags from one parent's house to the other house. Some carry books and yarn for all those little moments they need to fill when they're waiting patiently. And some even have bags for their dogs. Sometimes cats, but they don't like that so well. So look at all these bags. Are your bags already filled full of things? Maybe. Maybe they're going to get filled with things. Maybe they're not going to get filled with things. But today we're going to add some other things to your bag. And don't worry, they're not going to take up too much weight. So we want you to take this congregation's love and support with you to school or work or on your travels. So if you feel love here on Sunday, wouldn't it be great to know it's with you on every single other day? So let's do that. This is what we're going to do, you guys. We're going to bundle up some love. You might want to grab it out of your pockets, maybe from your heart. Pick it up with your hands. Grab it. Put it into a bundle. And I want you guys to hold up your bags, and everyone's going to throw that love into those bags. Or your pockets, or whatever it is. If you have pockets, that's right.
You got to catch it.
So let's add some other things to these bags. Sometimes when we go to church, we get really go to school or work, especially if it's new, we might get nervous or scared. And it would be nice to know that we had a little courage with us, right? So I want everybody to pull the courage from wherever you keep your courage, make it into a little ball, and you guys hold everything up, your pockets, your bags, and throw that courage. So is there anything else we should fill these bags with? Anybody have ideas? Anything else? Fun. Oh, yeah. Okay. So let's all find our fun, right? Everybody grab your fun, make it into a bundle, and throw that fun into those bags. That's right. Anything else we should bless these bags with? All right. What is it?
Safety.
All right, let's all pull the places where we keep our safety, our trust. We know what to do to keep safe. And let's throw it into those bags and backpacks. All right. So your bag might not look any different, but it is different because it's holding the care of this community. And we also have little tags. Little chalice tags for people to keep on their backpacks to remind us of this fellowship. So you will always know that we are with you and that we bless you and care about you every day. So we can hand these out, and the kids can either stay in the front or go back to their seats as they wish. I'm going to tell a story. So the story I'm going to tell this morning is the three little wolves and the big bad pig. So once upon a time there lived three little wolves with their mother, but they were getting older and older, and it was time for them to make their way into the world. Well, their mother was sad to see them go, but she knew it was time for them to grow up and do their own thing, so she gave them lots of advice, as parents often do to their children. And the biggest piece of advice she gave them was to be aware of the big, bad pig. So the little wolves went out into the world, and they ran across a kangaroo who was selling bricks, red bricks and yellow bricks, and they asked if they could get some bricks to build a house. And she was very willing, and so they built themselves a house of a brick. And when it was done, they went out into the garden to play croquet. And as they were playing, who should come prowling down the road but the big, bad pig? They ran into their house and slammed the door, and before long they heard a knock. Little wolves, let me come in. Not by the hair of our chinny chin chins. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And so that pig, he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed, but he could not blow that house down. But he wasn't called big and bad for nothing. He went home, got his sledgehammer, and smashed that house down, and those little wolves barely escaped. They thought, well, we'll have to build our houses out of something different. So they went marching down the road, and they came across a beaver who had a cement mixer full of slurry. And they thought, a cement house, how perfect. So they built their house of cement. And they were out in the yard playing the game where you throw the bags into cornhole. They were playing cornhole. And down the road came that big bad pig, and they ran into their house, they slammed the door, and they put the lock on. And before long, that pig was knocking at the door. Little wolves, let me come in. Not by the hair of our chinny chin chins. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow that house down, your house down. And he huffed, and he puffed, and he puffed, and he huffed, but he could not blow that house down. But he wasn't called big and bad for nothing. He went home, he got his pneumatic drill, and he smashed that house down. And those little wolves got away trembling and trembling. Oh dear, they said, we need to make an even stronger house. And they were so lucky, because at that point they saw a rhinoceros who had a truckload of plexiglass, barbed wire, big sheets of metal, big bolts. And he was kind enough to give them the supplies. So they built a very strong house that had a big, tall fence all around it with barbed wire around the top. And it had a gate with 37 locks. They felt absolutely safe, and they were out in the yard playing hopscotch. And who should come down the road but the big, bad pig? And he came up to the house, and he called through on the intercom, and he said, little wolves, let me come in. Not by the hair on our chinny chin chins. But so that wolf, he huffed. And he puffed, and he, that pig, he huffed, and he puffed, and he puffed, and he huffed, but he couldn't blow that house down. But he wasn't called big and bad for nothing. He went, and he got dynamite, and he placed it all around that fence, and he blew that house up. And those little wolves barely got away with scorched tails. They were a little stunned after that one. They were walking down the road, a little dizzy. And they said, wow, there is certainly something wrong with our building materials. And then they saw a flamingo who had wheelbarrows and buckets full of beautiful, beautiful flowers. And they thought, we want a house of flowers. And so they built a house. It had a wall of lilacs, another of roses, a wall of daisies. The roof was made of sunflowers. There was water lilies in the bathtub and buttercups in the refrigerator. And they were at home. They were out playing in the meadow when down the road came the big bad pig. They ran in the house and closed the door gently because the house kind of swayed in the wind. And the big bad pig came to the door and pulled on the bluebell and said, little wolves, let me come in. No, they said, not by the hair on our chinny chin chins. Then I will huff and I will puff and I will blow your house down. And so he pulled in the first breath of air that he needed to puff and huff. And it smelled so good. It was just delicious. And that pig, he just sniffed again and again. And that beautiful scent and beauty of that house just went through that wolf, that pig, and turned him from a big bad pig into a big good pig. And he began to dance and sing. The wolves were pretty cautious. They thought perhaps it was a trick. But after a while, they went out and asked the pig if he wanted to play, and they played pig pog and piggy in the middle. And after a while, they got tired, and they went in the house, and they ate big plates of chocolate and fruit, and they lived happily ever after.
And we are grateful for this house and this community. It's built of love. And there is so much for which to be grateful for this beautiful community in which we belong and the connections that we all share with each other. I like to think of our CareNet team and how they offer kindness and meals and support to our WOOF community every day of the week. For our welcoming hosts who so diligently share their hospitality and their heart each week. And for our coffee hosts downstairs who help create a welcoming space for folks to gather. And the many, many communities and teams that we have here at WOOF that we rely on. And together we're creating a beloved community. So I invite you right now to take a moment and just reflect within your own heart about being a part of this community. What do you value? What do you feel grateful for today? And I want to invite you to share out loud as you feel comfortable.
Music.
Friendship. Laughter. Friendship. And food. Coffee and a washer and dryer. Belonging. Water. Yes. And flowers.
Reflection.
Trees. Cats.
Hope.
Birds, grandmas and grandpas. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. As we receive the offering this morning, I invite you to consider all that we've shared today and all of the gifts that you have to offer, whether through financial contributions or the sharing of your energy, your gratitude, your time, your musical talents, and just creative ideas. Your generosity helps us all have the opportunity to discover and participate and experience more life together. May all of our work here be blessed with joy. The offering will now be gratefully received. Thank you very much for your gifts today. Do we have our affirmation of gratitude and giving? All right. Let's be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
There is so much joy and happiness in this world. Goodness, love, and beauty grow within us and all around us. And together we create a circle of celebration to hold all the joy in our lives. And life is also full of so much pain. Each of us knows loss and suffering. Together here we create a circle of compassion, wide enough to hold all the sorrows of our lives. As the music begins, please come forward as you feel moved to and place a stone in the bowl of water. The water is the community of compassion that holds all sorrows. The water is the community of celebration that holds all joys. If you come up, please just come up this aisle and return down this one. At the end, we will follow it with the hymn, Comfort Me. Settle more deeply into your seat. Feel the way that the earth pulls you to her. You are held here lovingly. Close your eyes if that makes you, if you're comfortable with that. And become aware of your heart. And if you wish, you can just cover your heart with your hands. And just bring in to your memory a person or a place or an event that just brings you joy. Something so joyful in your life. And just hold that joyful memory. Let it seep through your body. Let it fill you and be with you. This is your birthright, this joy. You may hold it.
I have two readings for you this morning. The first is by Shel Silverstein. Have you been to the land of happy, where everyone's happy all day, where they joke and they sing of the happiest things, and everything's jolly and gay? There's no one unhappy in happy. There's laughter and smiles galore. I've been to the land of happy. What a bore. Our second reading is by Adrienne Marie Brown. Put your attention on suffering, which is constant and everywhere, and it is all that you will see. Joy will come, and laughter, but you will find it brief, possibly a distraction. Put your attention on joy, being connected and feeling whole, and you will find it everywhere. Your heart will still break. You will know grief. But you will find it a reasonable cost for the random abundance of miracles and the soft, wild rhythms of love.
This is a song of joy for me called Today, popularized by John Denver, as you'll see. And I hope you'll join with me on the chorus.
Today, while the blossoms still cling to the vine, I'll taste your strawberries, I'll drink your sweet wine. A million tomorrows shall all pass away, ere I forget all the joy that is mine. Today, I'll cry and I'll sing.
When I was a young mother, my friends and I would often take our children to swim at Medical Lake, I hope this is right, which was not far from our home. The lake is nestled on the edge of a town by the same name, and it's surrounded on one side by a large public park. And the water is an absolute delight. It's like, makes it silkier than other water. It's long ago, people would come there for the healing qualities of that lake, which is why it's called Medical Lake. And sometimes I would leave my kids playing on the shore with my friends, and I would swim way out beyond the ropes, and you could just hear the children in the background splashing and shouting. But I was by myself, and I would float. And the lake had so many dragonflies that loved that water, and they would skim along the top and dip down and touch the water with their bodies to collect it. And I would watch because their wings would reflect the sunlight, and it looked like jewels. And I would just lay there, and I would use my imagination, and I would think of those tiny magical creatures and having fairies or other creatures on their backs. I imagined that they lived in the basalt cliffs that were on the edge of the lake. And what might concern them on this day, I thought, were they ordinary days, those ones that we will always forget and wish we couldn't? Or was someone's heart broken? Had evil descended? My mind muttered like the mind of a fiction writer that I always had imagined I would grow up to be. Even in the early days of parenthood, I would turn on Sesame Street and sit before the keyboard uninterrupted. But eventually the effort faded. Reality kept intervening with piles of dishes and laundry and toys and baths and teeth brushing. And my attention deflected. And my imagination finally settled on how to make cardboard swords with cardboard and tinfoil and retellings of King Arthur. I was once lucky enough to hear Madeline L'Engle read. During the questions, I asked, how do you get your writing done? And this is driving me crazy. And I asked her during the questions, how do you get your writing done when you have young children? And she said to me, children eat books. And then she said, I was a little shocked, and then she said, but that's not such a terrible thing, which seemed like a surprise to me. It seemed terrible, but in fact it really wasn't a terrible thing. I would never trade a book for a child. Still, I love to lay in the silky water of Medical Lake and consider the possibilities that could float in my imagination, and I felt rested, and I felt energized. A week ago last Friday, a fire burned through the town of Medical Lake. In a matter of hours, fed by gusting wind, the fire rushed over 9,000 acres and burned 185 buildings. It came so fast that people fled with just their pets. The fire burned places I have known all of my life. It was on a direct path to my ex-husband's house, one of my children's childhood homes. Just in time, though, really, just in time. The wind changed, and the fire blew the other way. I was in Spokane visiting family and friends that Friday afternoon. That evening, the fire jumped the freeway, and they closed the 20 miles I would need to traverse to get to Portland. So we waited a day. And the next day, they closed 50 miles of freeway. So to come back to Portland, my daughter and I drove south into the farming land of the Palouse. Ordinarily, I love to drive through the Palouse. They are the gentle, rolling, green-yellow hills. It's like driving through giant, curving sand dunes covered in green and yellow. They have mounded there over millennia by deposits of moving wind. It's some of my favorite land. However, on this journey, the smoke muted the view. The drive was long and tedious. It was like moving through a somber black and white photograph, reminding us that all was not well. Today, we celebrate Chocolate and Fruit Communion. In this annual service, we remember how the deep pleasures and joys of life are ours by birthright. We are born to love the world and to be amazed by it, just as I used to be, floating on Medical Lake. But just as I lost track of the imaginative worlds I once created by the need day in and day out to feed and love my sons, we can easily lose track of pleasure and joy as reality beats at us. Climate change breathes in our faces, breathes hot in our faces. There's endless days of habit and routines, grief, and the news telling us over and over that fear and violence are winning. Everyone wants to be happy, says the Dalai Lama. We all just want to be happy. We want everyone around us to be happy. We want people across the world to be happy. And I spent so much of my summer just noticing this truth. In the park, people caught frisbees, shared food, strolled with their dogs. At the water, children splashed, dug in the sand. Adults chatted and read and played with the children. People got up this summer at all hours of the night to watch the Women's World Cup. Baseball stadiums filled. Others shot baskets, hit pickleballs, or played beach volleyball. Those lucky enough to snag tickets sang and danced at Taylor Swift concerts. Others danced in bars and on the beach and in their living rooms. I smiled and cooed with my six-month-old granddaughter. I read recently that one culture celebrates the first day a baby laughs. Of course this should be a celebration. And wouldn't it be great if each year, along with our birthdays, we celebrated the first day we laughed? Because isn't laughter marvelous? One of the great things about being human? One of the real highlights of my summer was my daughter started jump roping in front of my granddaughter, who laughed so long and so hard over this that I began to wonder if she would entirely be all right. I also went to see Barbie. That was an unexpected summer joy. How did this happen? Why did I, who was lukewarm on Barbies as a child and did not allow my own daughter to play with them, want to go see this movie? But there I was, trying to score tickets for opening night, and when failing, scooped them up for the next day. I went with all four of my children, the youngest two in pink, including my daughter Ella, who hasn't worn pink since kindergarten. I snapped the photo and put it on Facebook, joining a deluge of other such photos. It seems as if almost everyone was getting Barbie joy this summer. And it was a great pleasure. From the opening scene, which is both macabre and hysterical, through the final unexpected line. Barbie is about many things. But front and center is the celebration of play and imagination, which are great joys of being human. The movie begins in a perfect pink Barbie-centered fashion-forward world. You can almost hear the children behind the scenes. How about if my Barbie is president and yours can be on the Supreme Court? How about if we write a book? How about if Barbie gets dressed up and goes to the beach? Let's get Ken. He can come, too. Let's dress them all in their ball gowns. Let's have a dance party and a sleepover. In the Barbie, one of the main characters says, I have a boring job and a daughter who hates me. Can you blame me for wanting to have fun? Well, no, we cannot. I want to float in silky water, write fantasy fiction, play King Arthur and Barbie with kids, have a dance party, and make faces at babies. And I know each of you has your list of what's just fun. Happiness and fun. Why can't life just be that easy? When Ella and I drove the curving road through the brown-gray smoke, we listened to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I have laughed through many times. But I didn't laugh. I felt heavy under that cloud of smoke, and my mind kept creeping off, wondering how much suffering there would be. Our planet has 8 billion people and so many uncountable animals. How much pain and violence will there be as we adjust to a new world of severe weather, drought, food and water shortages, and as people grow more and more afraid? How was I? A person who took vows to serve goodness and love when I was ordained, going to respond? What was my call now? What might all of us here at West Hills be called to do? Later, during that long ride, Ella, my daughter, turned on the Barbie soundtrack. It's funny how music, more than words, can touch your mood, and mine lifted a bit. I remembered the summer of all the happy people. Not suffering people, happy, playing, enjoying each other, upbeat, generalized people. When we are happy and joyful, the energy of life pulses through us until we feel fully alive. We brighten. We light up. The fire and the smoke flattened me. The Barbie soundtrack brought me back. And this is worth remembering. We get energy for life from what makes us happy. Suffering drains us. Sure, anger energizes us too, and sometimes it helps us stand up and fight when we really need to. But suffering, and I mean also that all of our fear and our worry and our empathy for those who are suffering even when we are not, can also make us despairing and apathetic. We can't care for the world when we don't have any energy. Joy and happiness give us the energy to be present to life. I told the story of the three little wolves and the big pad pig this morning because it's really fun to tell. It gives me a lot of joy to tell it. But I also told it because it is a story reimagined. In the original Three Little Pigs and the Big Bad Wolf, the story is about the benefits of working hard. Lazy pigs, we learn quite young, lose their house, and in some versions, their lives. The new story offers the suggestion that maybe beauty and kindness can transform even the most angry and violent. When I floated on the water dreaming stories, I was reimagining life. I was playing as surely as children with our Barbies. What if we flew on dragonflies? What if the magic was fading and the people stopped arguing about who had the biggest cave and worked together to find an answer? When Greta Gerwig created Barbie, she wrote a new narrative about a cultural icon. The unpredictable climate and rising fear and authoritarianism is going to hurt people. Maybe it's going to hurt us. And it's certainly at some point going to hurt people we love and care about, if it hasn't already. I don't write fiction anymore, because it turned out that I couldn't make bad things happen to my characters, which is a big flaw in a fiction writer. And this leads to pretty boring stories, like Shel Silverstein reminded us in this morning's reading. Bad things happen, unexpected things. That's the nature of existence. What a story is, a real story, is about what we do next. And we tell stories all the time about the bad things and what happens next. We get caught in our stories. We use the same plot and character motivations over and over. We can all tell the three little pigs and the big bad wolf without even looking it up. We tell many stories about the bad things that happen in the world, and most of them end with some version of anger, despair, or apathy. They end with exhaustion and overwhelm. There is no energy in those stories. We need a new story. The bad thing happens. We rage, we grieve, of course. But the twist is this time we also notice that the world is remarkable, bountiful, beautiful, full of possibilities of pleasure and joy. We can experience these just by paying full attention to what already exists right in front of us. It's all here already. We can play, have fun, laugh, be silly, dress in pink, dance, sing, make art, play ball. We can feel the energy brightening us, filling us. We can smile at each other, passing that joy around, binding ourselves together with it. And then together, we can take all that energy that we balled up and we can offer it as a gift, as a blessing to this suffering world, offering balms, building new ways, and telling those billionaires no. This year, our congregation is going to spend time considering what our purpose is in these times. And as we do this, I hope we remember that we need to have fun to save ourselves and this remarkable, amazing world that we love. We are going to rise and sing the Spirit Says Do, 1024.
Got to do when the Spirit says do. You got to do when the Spirit says do. When the Spirit says do, you got to do, oh Lord. You got to do when the Spirit says do. 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 You got to sing when the Spirit says sing. You got to sing when the Spirit says sing. When the Spirit says sing, you got to sing, oh Lord. You got to sing when the Spirit says sing. 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 You got to hear when the Spirit says dance. You got to dance when the Spirit says dance. When the Spirit says dance, you got to dance, oh Lord. You got to dance when the Spirit says dance. 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 You got to shout when the Spirit says shout. You got to shout when the Spirit says shout. When the Spirit says shout, you got to shout, oh Lord. You got to shout when the Spirit says shout. 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 Do when the Spirit says do. You got to do when the Spirit says do.
Invited to eat chocolate and fruit, that's what you need to do. So that's what we're going to do next. We are going to have chocolate and fruit communion. And I am going to ask you, when you take each bite of chocolate and fruit, to simply pay attention. This is truly the gift of joy. To attend completely without thought of the past or the present or how you feel in this very moment, but just attend to what is before you, to the chocolate on your tongue, to the fruit melting in your mouth, that delicious sweetness that is your gift of being alive. I'm going to ask you to rise, and we're going to have, what we're going to do is we're going to have the first row come, and then the second row, and the third row. We're going to have you come down the center aisle. Scott and I will be standing there holding the fruit and chocolate. You take a piece, go back to your seat. I recommend that you do not put it in your mouth until you return to your seat so you can pay complete attention. We are all blessed. So I invite you, go forth into your days, enjoying the sweetness of life, and dance without pause to think. Belly laugh without caring who hears. Open your arms and twirl in the sun. Love this life. You may now rise, and we will sing Carry the Flame. The front people face the back towards the front.